Joy Shulman. I've been playing bira since about 91, and I learned here and in Zimbabwe.
My name is Joe Parks, and I've been introduced to this music through Joy. I was a drummer for a long time, and it's taken all of my drumming experience to play the whole show properly.
You're married to each other.
Right.
Yes. So did you learn it after you got married, during your courtship?
During the courtship.
Really? That's what really sealed the deal for you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely. We're high school sweethearts. When we were kids, neither of us knew anything about drumming, but we were constantly drumming. So somehow our relationship has a lot of percussive qualities, I suppose. So there's a rhythm in our lives that gets expressed this way.
I always say when I heard how he could jam, that's when I decided to marry him.
You went to Zimbabwe?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I went in late 96 through mid 97, and it just felt like the time was right to go.
Who did you go with? What was the motivation?
I went with another bira player friend, American friend from Oregon named Nathan. Actually, this might be a good time to talk about there being a whole community of aficionados, people who love and play and sing and dance and eat and breathe and sleep Shona music.
And you're talking about non-Zimbabwean
non-Zimbabweans, Americans, Westerners, Europeans, even Japan now. This started out mostly in the Western United States, Washington State and Seattle, and has kind of spread from there. There are many marimba bands playing bira music adapted to marimba and other compositions. Gee, there are people, Americans in this country, who have been playing bira longer than me. Dumi Maraire.
The late Dumisani Maraire.
Right. He was doing his doctorate at University of Washington in ethnomusicology, and he formed a marimba band, so that's where it originated from.
So, of course, I have to ask you to play a little bit of the music. Do you play together?
At this point, we play in our living room. Sometimes we play on the streets or at culture fairs.
So I want to hear what you play in your living room, the two of you together.
Okay. We play mbira. Here we go. This is Nemam Sasa. It's a song about making a home, which is appropriate for us since we just found a new home.
Now, Mr. Parks, you're not from Zimbabwe either.
No, I'm not. I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
And you're playing Hosho from Zimbabwe.
Playing Hosho from Zimbabwe. Starting a community in Greenbelt, Maryland.
So what does it mean to you? And have you been able to play with real Zimbabweans to be able to see how you match up?
Well, today was my first opportunity.
Playing with Jonga Kandemiri.
Another Hosho player.
Yes, Jonga Kandemiri.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. So for me, what the Hosho indicates and is about is the ability to support and to lead at the same time. It's what Joy would call micro beats. And to me, that's a heartbeat, you know. It's a party. So I try very hard to play this properly and to give the energy that feels right spiritually.
And I also heard you singing.
Attempting to.
Are you able to sing a chorus?
I'm going
to
sing Taireva, which means we told you so. And I've heard some rumors that there were predictions that eventually the music would come back. The culture would come back to Zimbabwe with other people from another part of the world. I think in Zimbabwe, a lot of young people thought it was just old-fashioned stuff for the older
coming
people.
Back now, there are a lot of young Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
Of course, the late Chioniso Maraire, and then you have Hope Masike now.
Right.
And somebody you also know well, at least that's how we got to know of you this particular time, Jonah Masia.
Right, he's local. Yeah.
He's local, and he's been trying to revive the Zimbabwean cultural music.
Right.
Have you also managed to play with him on occasion?
We played for his CD party, which was great. There was a whole community of Zimbabweans there, and that felt like the real thing.
So do you feel like you fit right in?
Hoping.
Yeah.
Hoping.
So what kind of reaction do you encounter when you meet Zimbabweans and they see you playing
They're surprised, mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly surprised. They're happy to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If they dance, then I think I'm doing my job.
Well, let's hear a little bit more with some singing.
See.
They're beautiful.
I'm not much of a singer.
So how do you connect to the words? And how do you know what you're saying?
Some of these songs I've learned from teachers and just from singing along, and I usually try to find out what the words mean. And as I was saying, there's a big community of people who love Zimbabwean music, and we have festivals. We have it's called Zimfest once a year. It's become huge. It's in a different city every year, mostly in the western part of the country. And so a lot of well-known and maybe not so well-known musicians from Zimbabwe have come here and they teach, and they'll do translations, make sure we know how to pronounce things properly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Parks, have you been to Zimbabwe yourself?
No, I've never been to Zimbabwe.
Oh, so you're just living vicariously through
your wife? Yes.
Would you want to go to Zimbabwe?
Yes, I'd like to go to Zimbabwe. I know I have a lot to learn spiritually that in many ways can only be learned through my sense of kinship with this culture. And so I'm very happy to have this opportunity and to be able to engage it and expand my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you talk to Zimbabweans, what do you feel in terms of that sense of belonging?
I feel homesick.
Really?
Really.
You've not been back since 97. It's time to go back.
You know it.
And
when I was there, it felt like home.
And where did you live? Obviously, people are not playing bira in the streets everywhere.
Right.
So where did you play it? And did you get to see it in its full display?
Yeah. I rented a room in a woman's house. And would travel to high-density suburbs, they call them.
Like Mbare, Highfield.
Mbare, Highfield. My main teachers were Tute Chigamba, Efad, and Sam Mujuru, Cosmas Magaya, Basil Makombe, probably a few more, Garikai, Tirikot. I had begun to learn in this country where the teachers kind of break the music down into steps, so it's more accessible for Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Zimbabwe, I wanted to learn how to learn like it's done traditionally. Just sitting next to my teacher and playing along, because he wouldn't break it down. It's more traditional when people are growing up in Zimbabwe to just pick it up that way. I just have to say it's something that, to me, speaks to the heart, you know. It moves me on a lot of different levels, emotionally, physically. You can dance, you can be quiet, you can think, you can get rowdy, you can stomp, you can drink, whatever. It's very human music.
There's something about the utter sincerity of the music. You know, you turn on the radio, it's hard to find music that feels so authentic.